Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday broadcast. It's April 8th, 2020. This is Pastor Howard. And by now, I think you're probably aware that this stay-at-home order has been extended until May 1st. That also is something that President Trump has recommended with his coronavirus guidelines. And so as a church, we are responding to that. Here in Ohio, the order that the governor has given and the director of the Department of Health actually does exempt churches. We are essential organizations, I guess. But at the same time, the governor has strongly warned churches about meeting. If you watched the press conference a week ago, the governor spoke directly to churches and basically said it would be a huge mistake if churches were to continue to gather. And we've seen some churches in the news that are continuing to gather. And the testimony there has probably not been the greatest for them. And as elders here at our church, we discussed this on Sunday night together, and we decided that we as a church are going to heed the recommendations of the government officials here. And so, again, reluctantly, we are canceling our church services during the period of the stay-at-home order. So that right now is through the rest of April. The order extends to May 1st. And so we will continue on with what we've been doing here. I know some do feel that this is going too far, and we all are a little bit uncomfortable with things that are being mandated right now, but we also should recognize that it's not like churches are being the only ones targeted here. There's been many different businesses and organizations that have been closed due to the coronavirus. And also, this is something that in other ages of church history, even in our own country, churches have been asked to do this when there have been outbreaks of disease, and churches have complied with that. And, you know, there may come a point where we have to take a stand against our government because of our beliefs, but I don't think coronavirus right now is that time where we should do that. So we don't like the fact that we have to stay at home and not assemble together. But we are thankful for our public health officials and for things that they are trying to do to try to protect us as citizens. I think last week I had mentioned the possibility of a parking lot service for Easter Sunday, which is coming up this Sunday, where we could use an FM transmitter in our car radios. I have not been able to locate an FM transmitter. Maybe some of you know where one is, but I've not been able to locate them. They are not that expensive, but to order them at this point, you'd have to wait about a month. So as of right now, we don't have a plan for a parking lot service, although I do like the idea of having one. If we can come up with that, maybe another Sunday, that could work out. So our Easter services are canceled as well, but we can still celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ at our homes. And so I'm going to continue as I have been with recording these broadcasts, these messages. I'll be posting them on our church website where the sermons are usually posted. And then also we're mailing a CD out to those that don't have access to the church website. And, you know, this is just not something that we want to do. You know, it's not a substitute for our church assemblies. We want to get back to that, but it's about the best we can do right now. And so we're going to press on with this, and we'll trust that the Lord will help us. We're also trying to do our best to keep in contact with everybody, and our elders are going to continue to try to touch base with you. And, you know, that's something that we all need to make an effort to do, to communicate with one another and to pray for one another. So let me encourage you to continue doing that. I've received number of notes from you saying that you've listened to these broadcasts, and I appreciate that. And just trust that you'll continue to do that. And I'll be also sending out prayer requests once a week here. I'll email those out. Also send them by mail to those that don't have email. And so just ask you again if you can let me know of any prayer requests that you have, or updates to prayer requests or praises, and we can try to get those sent out. Also wanted to just give a report about some people we've been praying for. First of all, our elected officials. We've been praying for specific elected officials each month on our prayer sheet. We started doing this about the first of the year or so this year. And I've been contacting those officials each month as we pray for them, let them know that our church is praying for them. And got a response back this past week, from one of ours for this month. This month, we're praying on the federal level for our U.S. Senator from Ohio, Sherrod Brown. On the state level, Frank LaRose, who's the Ohio Secretary of State. And then on the local level, Thomas Whiston, who's one of our Morrow County commissioners. And I sent each of these men a note just letting them know of our prayers. And I got a response back from the Secretary of State, Frank LaRose. And he said this, Reverend Howard, thank you so much for taking the time to send me a message. I appreciate your thoughtfulness and, more importantly, your prayers. Please send my gratitude to your congregation, and please don't hesitate to let me know if I can ever be of any assistance to you or to the Morrow Bible Church. Thank you, and God bless you all. Stay safe. Frank LaRose, Ohio Secretary of State. And then also have a note here from one of our missionaries, Diana Boss. We support Diana serving there in Mexico. And she sent this note in just today or yesterday, I believe. She said this, Dear Pastor Howard, thank you for your continued prayer for me during this time. Please continue to pray for good health. As of yet, there have been no coronavirus cases here in Tampa Malone, for which I am thankful. I believe the closest is about 2 hours away in Valles. We are still in lockdown. We only go out if necessary. I am trying to keep contact with Mary Jane, our neighbor, using WhatsApp. We started a Bible study with her. I'm using WhatsApp to send her verses and or a study. Also, Julia, a lady that received Christ as her Savior during visitation. I saw her in a store and we were in and got her phone number. She has WhatsApp. So I sent her some verses and a brief study. Pray with me that the Lord will use this media to help them grow spiritually. We are not having Saturday Children's Club or regular church services. God is in control. Pray with me that this will be a time of drawing closer to the Lord. Also pray for souls to be saved. Sincerely in Christ, Diana Boss. I'm here with the choir again, and we're going to start by interviewing them about the history of the song that we're about to sing. So, choir, what's the name of the song that we're about to sing, the hymn? Yes, Eva?
I Worship the King.
Okay, good. And who is the author of this hymn? What is his name? Pearl? Somebody else? Eva?
Robert Grant?
That's right. Robert Grant is the author. And what was his job? Remember what his job was, Lillian?
A lawyer.
A lawyer, right? And he was a member of the British Parliament as well. When did he publish this hymn? O Worship the King. Remember the date? Yes, Lillian?
I know the year.
Okay. The year?
1833.
That's correct. 1833 it was published. Now, he wrote this based on a chapter in the Bible. What chapter did he base this hymn on? Yes, Anna?
Psalm 104.
Right, Psalm 104. And he compared the greatness of God with the majesty of the kings that he knew of in England, the British royalty. And so he published this in 1833. And then he went back to the land where he once had lived as a child. What country did he used to live in as a child? Pearl?
India.
Right, India. He went back to India, and he was made the governor of Bombay city in India. He died there in India in 1838, and a medical college was built in his honor and named for him. But his most lasting memorial is this majestic hymn of praise, calling us to worship the King of Kings. All right, let's sing "O Worship the King." Oh, worship the King of glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor, and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, and sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds pour, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm.
Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain.
Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender,
I began a series on pandemics in the Bible. Last week we started with 2 Samuel 24, the pestilence that was sent on Israel. Then on Sunday we looked at 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14, and God's promise that was made to a people in a pandemic. And today we're going to look at another passage that mentions pestilence and plague. It's a passage of great comfort. Promises God's protection for His people. Before we begin, I want to read something written by famous Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He recorded a testimony in his commentary on this passage. That commentary is called The Treasury of David, and he said this: "In the year 1854, when I had scarcely been in London 12 months, the neighborhood in which I labored was visited by Asiatic cholera, and my congregation suffered from its inroads. Family after family summoned me to the bedside of the smitten, and almost every day I was called to visit the grave. I gave myself up with youthful ardor to the visitation of the sick, and was sent for from all corners of the district by persons of all ranks and religions. I became weary in body and sick at heart. My friends seemed falling one by one, and I felt or fancied that I was sickening like those around me. A little more work and weeping would have laid me low among the rest. I felt that my burden was heavier than I could bear, and I was ready to sink under it. As God would have it, I was returning mournfully home from a funeral when my curiosity led me to read a paper which was wafered up in a shoemaker's window in the Dover Road. It did not look like a trade announcement, nor was it, for it bore in a good, bold handwriting these words: because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. The effect upon my heart was immediate. Faith appropriated the passage as her own. I felt secure, refreshed, girt with immortality. I went on with my visitation of the dying in a calm and peaceful spirit. I felt no fear of evil, and I suffered no harm. Providence, which moved the tradesman to place those verses in his window, I gratefully acknowledge. And in the remembrance of its marvelous power, I adore the Lord my God. Those words that struck Charles Haddon Spurgeon are words that are recorded here in Psalm 91. We're going to look now at Psalm 91. This is a psalm that has been special to many at this current crisis that we are in surrounding the coronavirus. I would also mention that this is the psalm that the Bible Club children have been trying to memorize when they were meeting on Wednesday nights. It was a passage that was chosen before this current crisis began, but they have been working on that. And this psalm does give us timeless encouragement about God's protection. We often don't realize how much we need God's protection. Sometimes we can only look back on our lives and see that we actually had it and we did not even know it. So today we're going to look at just the first half of this psalm, the first 8 verses. And then on another broadcast, we'll consider the final half of this psalm. So I'm going to begin by reading Psalm 91, verses 1 through 8. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. We're going to look at the first two sections of this psalm. The first section deals with a specific kind of person in this psalm that experiences security. And then the next section here in verses 3 through 8 show us the particular dangers in which we receive God's protection. But notice the person that God protects in verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What kind of person experiences the protection of God? Is it just anybody? No, God promises this kind of protection to a particular kind of person. It's a person who dwells in God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The true believing Christian is one who dwells in God. In other words, he is one who is at home in God. He finds rest and security in God. He dwells in God. If we're going to have the kind of protection that God is describing here in this psalm, we have to be people that are dwelling in God. We need to recognize the kind of protection that God offers here. God, it says, is our shadow. You say, well, that doesn't seem like very much of a protection. That doesn't seem like much of a home, just a shadow. But yet in the scriptures, it's another picture of God's care for us. We might think of the shadow that a tree would offer in a hot summer day. We could get under the shadow of a tree. And at times in the scriptures and else other places, God is pictured as a shade for his people. Psalm 121 verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The hymn we sing picks up on that theme, a shelter in the time of storm, it says in one of the verses, a shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. The person who dwells in God will abide in God's protection, according to verse 1. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide means to lodge, to stay often, even overnight. It's a word that speaks of the peaceful rest of God's children. The person that experiences God's protection here is not just anyone. It's a person who dwells in God. They are at home in God. They're at peace. They find comfort in God. That's not everybody. Some people are more comfortable in being as far from God as they possibly can be. Some people are uncertain about God, and God is no comfort to them. But for the people who really can say that they trust God, that they find themselves to be at home in God, they dwell in God, these are the people that experience a kind of protection. So it's a person who dwells in God. Then verse 2 tells us that it's a person who trusts God personally. Notice what it says in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. This person does not stop just with knowing things about God. It's not enough to know that God can offer us protection, can give us protection from all kinds of danger. The kind of person that experiences protection in these times is a person who has a personal confession of trust in God. Here we see the psalmist claims God as his own refuge and fortress. The refuge here in the scriptures in this verse is a kind of shelter from storms or other kinds of danger. The word fortress here is a word we find used in the scriptures for a place in the wilderness or in the mountains. For example, where David and his men hid and gathered supplies for battle in 1 Samuel 24, verse 22. It says that David and his men got them up into the hold. That word hold is the same word here that we find in verse 2 for fortress. Doesn't mean that danger goes away, but in the midst of the danger, we have protection in God. It's a person who trusts God personally, who has this confession of faith. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. In Him will I trust. You know, it's easy for us to look to other types of refuge and fortresses besides God. And we need to be careful that we don't say to government or to our bank accounts or to our families that they are my refuge and my fortress. We can look at our health and our wealth and say the same thing sometimes, and we find that that offers a very false sense of security. But we need to look to God as the true, genuine source of security. We have real protection when we are like the psalmist here and we claim God and God alone for our refuge and fortress. So we see here the person that God protects. It's a person who dwells in God. It's a person who trusts God personally. They claim the protection of God for themselves. And then the psalmist goes on here in verses 3 through 8 and shows us some of the dangers from which God protects His children. Notice verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. God's protection covers all kinds of dangers here. Danger is described as the snare of a fowler here in verse 3. A fowler is a person that hunts birds. He sets up traps. The birds don't see those traps. Only until after they're caught, they see the traps. And they're caught, killed. And God tells us that there are dangers that are like that. They're snares to God's people. Satan and his angels are constantly setting those traps for God's people. We don't even know what they are. Other evil people can seek to do us harm, and we don't even know. We can't see oftentimes the traps. Sometimes there may be a bait that they use. It looks very tempting, looks appealing and helpful and tasty and profitable, but it's a trap. But we see here that for God's children, he is able to protect us from the dangers like that, from the traps that people would try to set for us. And then right along with that, it says, and from the noisome pestilence. It's interesting that the noisome pestilence is associated in this verse with the snare of the fowler. The word noisome here is a form of the English word annoysome. It's used in the sense of something that causes trouble or distress. The Hebrew word behind this word is a word that means destruction, destroying, and that's what a pestilence does. But the pestilence is like that snare of the fowler in some way. The pestilence is something that can also be a hidden danger. You know, we don't see the traps that people would be setting for us, that the devil is setting for us. And the pestilence can be just like that. We can't see it. It's a hidden danger. Right now, we're seeing that in a greater way. We see the spread of it. We see the results of it. People in the hospital, we may be the carriers of it this very moment. And perhaps tomorrow, the next day, next week, we might find that it's very close to us, even in our own homes. It's a danger that's hidden oftentimes. But God offers protection even from various kinds of hidden dangers, whether they be the snare or whether it be the pestilence. Then verse 4 teaches us that God offers his tender protection from hidden dangers. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. This is a picture that God uses of his care, his tender protection. We're like little birds, little chickens, when it comes to hidden dangers. I have seen from time to time, as I've driven around here, one particular house I'm thinking of on the way to church, I see a chicken that's standing right there close to the road. He's trying to cross the road, I guess. Why did the chicken cross the road? I don't know. You know, does he know that the car is going to run him over? And thankfully, I've seen this chicken, and I've slowed down so I don't run that chicken over. But, you know, we are like chickens. We can be oblivious to the dangers that are around us. And in time of danger, that mother hen gathers her baby chicks under her wings and protects them. God tenderly and gently does that with us. We're like little chickens. We're oblivious to these dangers all around us. And God gently gathers us, protects us from dangers that we can't even see. So there's a tenderness, there's a gentleness to God's protection here, but there's also a toughness. The end of verse 4 says, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, we might think, just from the beginning of verse 4, that God's protection is fairly weak. You know, a hen's feathers don't seem to be that strong. They do communicate the gentleness of God's protection. But the psalmist here adds another picture here, a shield and a buckler. A hen doesn't have a shield and a buckler, at least none that I've seen. That's something a soldier has. God's protection offers that, a shield and a buckler, something strong enough to keep us protected from all kinds of greater danger that we would not be able to see, completely hidden from our eyes. God offers his protection from hidden dangers, at least from our perspective. And then a second kind of protection that God gives us here in verses 5 through 8 is a protection from fear. Notice verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Protection from fear. You know, God's protection may not remove the dangers, but God does give deliverance from the fear of those dangers. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Sometimes we can be afraid at nighttime, even though we're asleep in our own beds, in our own homes. There are still dangers. Someone can come in, rob our house. There may be a storm, a tornado, perhaps a fire that would burn our house down. And there we are in our own home, and yet there's these dangers that can come even in the night. But we don't have to be afraid of those things. God can deliver us from fear, from terror, of those dangers that can happen to us at night. Then there's the dangers of the day. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Perhaps the modern day equivalent of this would be the bullet that flieth by day, that shoots by day. The things that can harm us in the daytime, things that can kill us. God's able to protect us from those things, but more importantly here, he's able to deliver us from the fear of those things. You might call this 24-hour protection from fear. The terror by night, and also the arrow that flieth by day. Then verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. God can deliver us from fear of pestilence. That's what we're dealing with right now in our country and in this world, this pestilence, this outbreak of disease that's going on right now, this COVID-19. We can't see it. We just know that it's here. We hear the reports of the damage that it's causing. Hopefully we can avoid it, but we may not. What God is promising here is that he can deliver us from the fear that goes with that. That's what's sweeping through our world and our country. Let's suppose that it comes very close to us. COVID-19. One of us becomes a statistic. One of us becomes one of the ICU statistics. Does that mean that God has somehow not kept his promise to us? Does that mean that God will have failed? That Psalm 91 is not true? No. No, nothing can hinder God's will. And if that were to happen to one of us, one of his children, it would have been because God allowed it. It would have been because it was his will to take that child home, take one of his own believers to be with him. You know, God has defeated death and ultimately will prove that and has proved that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We will live with Christ forever. But God's protection here in this psalm is a reminder what he can do. But more importantly, it's a reminder of our response. It need not be one of panic, but one of confidence in God. God can deliver us from the fear even of pestilence, coronavirus pestilence. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness. Then talk about fear. Notice the situation causing verse 7. That would certainly stoke some fear. Verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Thousands dying all around you. Think about that. I don't think coronavirus has caused death to that level, at least here. But what if it would? What if there was something else that would cause a ratio like that, a rate like that, thousands all around you, 10,000 at thy right hand. That would be the odds against you for sure. But God can still deliver you from fear in a situation like that. Can cause us to think about our own death. Are we prepared for our own death? But for God's children, for the person who dwells in God, we can be calm and at peace, trusting in God's care, that He's even able to protect us, though 1,000 would fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. You know, there's a good illustration of this verse in what Israel went through when they were delivered from Egypt. Remember the 10 plagues that God sent, and yet not one of them affected Israel. For example, the one there in Exodus 9, verse 4, it says, "And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one." Remember the last plague, the death of the firstborn. God certainly made a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians, between God's people and those that were under God's judgment. So God can deliver us from fear, even of inescapable danger, seeming inescapable danger that everyone is going through. You know, we don't need to be afraid, even in times like that. And then a final area of protection referred to here in verse 8. "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Here we see a reminder that God can protect us from God's wrath. That's another danger that we are all safe from. God's people will not face the reward of the wicked. We may even see it, just like the children of Israel got to see it when they were delivered from Egypt. But the wrath of God will not fall upon the one who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" We could add to that, or coronavirus, because nothing will separate us from God's love. And we have certain protection from the wrath of God, which will fall upon the wicked, but will not fall upon God's children, those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so as we see the remainder of this psalm here, we will come to some of the instruments of God's protection, and also some of his direct promises which he makes for his protection. But remember the person that is in view here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That person who has personally claimed God as his refuge and his fortress. Does that describe you? Are you a person that can rest in God like that and receive the protection that he offers? God will give you that wonderful comfort in distressing times, but only if you are a person that trusts in him, that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the protection that you give to us. Thank you that we can be protected from dangers we don't even know about. And all of us have experienced those times when we even look back and see the way that you watched over us and kept us safe. Father, help us not to be fearful. Help us not to panic. We thank you that we don't have to, because of what you're able to do and what you have done for us. We thank you that we can stand in the face of death and be calm and confident, because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We thank you for Jesus Christ and for his sacrifice, which he made on the cross once for all. We thank you for the resurrection, which we celebrate this time of year. We look forward to the Lord's Day, our time of celebration. Help us to be thankful and to praise you for all that you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.